All right.
On this episode, we smoke the Dias de Gloria Brasil from AJ Fernandez, a gorgeous-looking cigar, and we're about to find out how it smokes. I'm your host, Johnny Midas, and you're listening to Burnline Podcast.
Burnline Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages over the age of 21, you are listening to Burnline Podcast, coming to you, as always, not live, from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocket Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davidoff Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA, the only Rocket Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland, at least for now. I am Johnny Midas.
I am El Fumo.
And today we are smoking the Dias de Gloria Brasil, from AJ Fernandez. And, you know, we always talk about presentation. We've got the box here. There's a little bit of glare. I haven't figured out the lighting thing yet. But as usual, it's fucking gorgeous. This is the 5.5x54 Robusto. I was just mentioning, like, it's a kind of a large ring gauge for Robusto.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm used to a 50-52. But in any case, and it is a soft box press.
Yep. Cellar wrap.
I have mine out of the wrapper.
We just do it.
And it is stunning. Now, there's an issue. Look right there. It's some kind of vein that looks like it just wants to fucking pop as soon as I light this. And
oh,
right there.
Shit. I see it.
Right? So we're going to find out. Quality test is part of what we do.
It looks like it got bench scratched.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it got scratched on the bench.
I think the vein smeared when it got put in the press.
Possibly. Yeah, it looks like wooden, like it came from a hard surface damage.
Yeah, it does. We're going to find out. What else have we got? Oh, this is new. So y'all are going to find out what the hell is going on over here. I have got my treasure box.
This table's very busy today. Yep.
And my trebuchet. We are going to play treasure or trebuchet later on. So stick around till the end, guys, because you're going to love this new segment. I've also got my new Basil Hayden's Dark Rye. This is just as awesome as it looks. Oh, I brought the hand back. The Johnny Midas cigar smoking hand. Yeah, there's a lot of shit on this table. Good, cool. That's how we live. Right?
Shit everywhere.
Shit everywhere. So we have got, I hope, a fantastic show for you guys. We are smoking the Dias de Gloria Brasil, new release from AJ Fernandez. This cigar features a Brazilian Matafina wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler. The Robusto MSRP is $14. You can pay a little more than that probably with taxes and stuff.
Yeah.
The different Vitolas are 14 to 16.
Yeah.
So these days, that is a low mid-range cigar. Your low-end cigars are now like 11 to 13.
Yeah, Jesus.
And then mid-range is like 13 to 18.
Yep.
So mid-range, we'll call it.
Good economy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by the way, real quick, I just have to give you kudos for pronouncing two words correctly, Brasil and Matafina.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I've been practicing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most offensive, like non, like when people say those words, they're very offensive, but they're not said the right way, especially Brasil.
Yeah, yeah.
It drives me nuts. The yeah. Z, I was like, where did the yeah. Z even came from? Like,
no, I try to be respectful. Like, I get it. Like, it's your country. The name is Brasil.
Yeah.
That'd be like, you know, you calling the United States like USA.
USA.
Because it's spelled USA. You know?
Dude,
it's
do you like, want to know the abbreviations for the U.S. in Spanish?
Estados
no.
Unidos.
No, no. What? It's EE, UU, and then some other freaking letter. Yeah, don't ask me. I was not there.
Yes, you double the letter if it's plural.
Yeah.
So it's Estados, like states. Uh-huh. Unidos or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it, but that's why you double
the letter. I know, but it's plural. Annoying. I'm like, what
and
the?
Then, and then, Amerigazzi.
Yeah. You'd look the part right now.
Yeah, but here's the punchline for everybody out there. Amerigazzi is not Italian, it's Armenian.
Right.
Right? That's how you say American. I don't know. Maybe it's Italian, too.
Who knows?
You know how you say, like, mister in Armenian?
No.
Baron.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, like a baron.
Shit. Yeah. Well, that's also the Spanish way of saying boy.
Yeah.
Like South American
it's
Spanish.
All connected.
Yeah.
Well, the reason Armenian sounds like so many languages is they kept getting conquered as people went back and forth.
Oh, man.
All right. If we don't start smoking. Oh, and the coffee cups.
Oh.
What team are you on? Okay, yeah, we got this is a fucking cigar show. Let's get our cigars going. So let's get these cut. I am cutting with my Perdomo close-ended double guillotine hefty metal cutter, and you've got a fucking set. What is that? Electric shaving set?
It looks like it, don't it? All right, real quick. So we're plugging in this. It's a Jetline like personal gift set. So you have
nice.
A tabletop lighter,
a travel lighter,
pocket lighter,
yeah,
and a V-cut.
Sweet.
Yeah, and V-cut
okay,
is
so that one. That looks like sort of like oil rub bronze or antique bronze.
Right.
The other one is red.
Yeah, so I have two to feature, but these are available here at Davidus. There's a blue one as well. That satin nice. Red looks nice. It looks like Iron Man a little, but this copper, like this brushed satin brass, what we're talking about is just sexy looking.
Brushed. So. That is antique brushed copper if you're in like the fittings, like the kitchen fittings.
Yeah.
Antique brush copper.
So, like, if you're a steampunk fan, like,
hell yeah,
this is your shit.
Hell
right
yeah.
Here.
And what is that retail for?
Retails for $229.99 here.
So you're getting a bench lighter, which, by the way, has a flip-out punch on it.
Uh-huh.
Holds a ton. A deep V-cut
yeah.
and a pocket lighter for $230, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the quality on this is, like, just ridiculous. It's
oh, yeah,
heavy.
Top-notch. Yeah.
Yeah, you could
holds a fucking whole can of Zycar butane.
Yeah, feel that real quick. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yep.
So. 2.5 pounds. Yeah, so if you bought all of these individually, that's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you bought them individually, it'd be a lot more expensive.
Yeah,
because
that big lighter alone is like 120, maybe 130, the best
lighter.
Yeah,
that's on the low end, too, you know. Cool. Well, thanks for highlighting that. So you're going to use that deep V-cut? Is that what you're going to use?
Correct.
And then you're going to use the double flame torch? Okay.
Yep.
To light.
Pocket lighter. Yeah, I'm not roasting this cigar.
Yes, yes. All right, so it is time for the official cutting, which is brought to you by Fat Boys Cigars. The bold and delicious flavors of premium hand-selected tobacco leaves are highlighted in the original Jacked and Jacked 2 cigars. Don't forget to try the Twist and Shout, as well as the new War Pig, and of course, Fat Boy Cigars has a lounge up there in Steel City, so check them out. Instagram, Facebook, fatboyscigars.com. Welcome to the Fat Boys world. And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. And, you know, we make a joke out of it, but it's true. You have to snap that cutter closed. None of this squeezy, squeamish.
Right.
You're just gonna pop the wrapper. So we, you know, that's not just a tagline. It will help you have a better cigar smoking experience.
Yeah.
And now we're doing the hand job. Which, for all of you audio only listeners out there, we're just the part that we just cut, the part that goes in your mouth, which is not the lid end, the other end. We're just tapping that upside down on the back of our hand to get the loose tobacco. It wasn't that much.
No. Look at how clean cut. That's the cleanest V cut I've ever had.
That reminds me of a Calibri Deep V.
Yeah.
That's a pretty deep V cut.
That's what it's modeled after.
Yeah.
So
it's a pretty deep V cut.
Yep.
Nice. All right. Why don't we light these? I need to smoke something.
Let's do it.
Got so much going on. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee, featuring Six Bean Bala. Currently the favorite. The Mexican is really close second for me. Love that. 2C Premium Coffee utilizes continual roasting, so you're always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee, which we both have right here.
Oh, yeah.
New mugs. Now, both of them have Burn Line on the one side, and mine has got Johnny Midas, and his has got
El Fumo.
So, here's what we're going to do. In celebration of 2C Premium Coffee, we are going to do a little contest.
Oh.
Team Midas or Team Fumo. So, in order to be considered to win one of these awesome swag mugs, all you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel and go to Facebook or Instagram, Burnline Podcast, and like any of our posts, and in the comment box put Team Fumo or Team Midas. That's it. And we're going to pick somebody that that follows those rules and send them the mug of your choice.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll just switch them, just be dicks.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But we wanted to – I got a couple of extra of these because I figure I'm going to break one of them. Plus, the more you buy, the cheaper they are per each.
Yeah.
So we want to give away one Johnny Midas and one El Fumo Burnline mug to a lucky listener. So subscribe to YouTube. And jump on, I guess, YouTube, too. Jump on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, any of the episodes, and just comment Midas or Fumo, Team Midas, Team Fumo. And
I guess we should probably hashtag it. So do hashtag Team Midas, Team Fumo.
Totally fucking hashtag it. Yeah.
That'd be better.
Yeah. Look at this guy. Like, he fucking knows, like,
it's just easier
social
to track.
Media stuff.
It does
yeah.
it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to we're gonna hashtag that. Yeah. So throw that hashtag out there. Let's get this viral, something like that. And more importantly, I just want everyone to see me win. So
damn,
yeah, we're gonna do that. Mm. Which brings us back to 2C Premium Coffee.
Good ass coffee.
Features continual roasting and being selected from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, Mexico, around the world. Recently saw their. Fast Break French Press or whatever mm-hmm. featured for a French roast on there, you know, featured on their Instagram page. But 2C Premium is top-notch coffee, and you know I'm a fucking coffee snob. This is how much of a snob I am. I have a single-serve Keurig. I have a drip basket. I have a French press, and I have a Nespresso, as well as a stovetop, what is it, Batelli? What is that guy's name?
I'm not sure.
The one you put on the... Fucking 1933, hasn't changed since 33, Italian espresso maker, okay. steamer. and four of those are at work.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, you know. And I choose 2C Premium because it's fucking awesome.
Or when you have none of that available, cowboy coffee style.
No, fuck that. All right.
It's a little rough, but it works. No,
yeah. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. All right. Let's get these lit. I have got my ST DuPont. Two flame flat jet, and you are using who manufactures that?
These are by Jetline, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
Jetline actually makes a really good lighter.
Yeah, their lighter, that four jet, you know, yeah, that iconic four jet.
It's affordable, but it's super reliable.
Dude, I have a 12-year-old Jetline at home.
Yep, that's the one. That and the
Vertigo.
What is it? Vertigo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everybody carries those.
Vertigo Cyclone. To be specific.
Yes. Except Johnny Midas. I carry my ST DuPont.
Gold-plated by Costco Gold.
Yes, we dipped it in a Costco Gold bar. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. It's a pretty cool set.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one thing I will say about Davidus here is, like, if you're looking for special accoutrement to go along with your cigars, this is a great place to... pick it up. Ashtrays, cutters, lighters, humidors. They have everything. Now, you're not going to find stupid stuff like a $13,000 giant humidor.
Maybe.
But you are going to find everything from, like, you know, affordable to pretty nice.
Yeah.
In all of the categories.
Yeah, don't let this price point fool you. This is like a really nice gift set, but there is affordable lighters there. I think the cheapest they sell was like $5.
Yeah, yeah.
So range
you're not
going
to get a DuPont here.
Right,
you
no.
know, $500 fucking lighter.
I think those are...
This is a cheap DuPont, too.
I was going to say, does DuPont license out their products or no? Like, can a brick and mortar sell it or do they have to be...
You can be a distributor, sure, but they usually distribute through like luxury...
That's retail. What I thought. They had a criteria or something like that.
So you're not going to have that, but you are going to have a really nice, you know, like a Zycar lighter or something, as well as, you know, all the way down to
Rocky
like
Patel.
Yeah.
Drew Estate.
Yeah. all the way down to your $6 lighter. But yeah, lots of cool accessories.
Oh, yeah, come get it. One stop shopping.
Yep. All right. So we got this lit. We got the first couple millimeters burnt off. And I've got thoughts, but what are your sort of initial tasting notes? I've got some thoughts. I want to hear yours.
Sorry about that. Like earth and chocolate. That's what I'm getting. No vegetal.
Dude, that's so boring.
What?
It's just so boring. Earth and chocolate. I mean, you might, you know, like, let's spice it up a little bit. It tastes like fulminated topsoil. Drenched it. All right. So you're basically earth and chocolate is what you're saying.
Yeah. A little bit of Amazon River Basin, too.
Really?
Taste the Amazon. Yep.
All right. So I definitely do have a garden taste. It is not vegetal bitter like we normally talk about, but it is vegetal. I do have that flavor.
All right. Yeah, it's very, very finite. It's right there.
I would say if you took a leather belt and you dipped it in that rich black, like, potting soil mix.
Okay.
And you just dropped, like, three red pepper flakes on top.
Okay.
Is a pretty good description of the main bundle of flavors that I'm getting.
All right.
There is a little spice thing there, but it's that slightly sweet spice, like a crushed red pepper
flake. Yeah, it's in the back of the palate? Is that what you're tasting? Okay. Yeah.
Not like cayenne that's just like, hi-ya! You know? And not like pepper where it's not really spicy. It's just pepper.
Right. It's subtle, though. It's there.
Dude, I'm not getting any chocolate at all.
Really?
Not a lick of chocolate.
I wouldn't say it's like chocolate either. I want to say it's more like in the cocoa bitter side, to be more specific.
Okay.
Maybe that might help you.
Yeah, I'm not getting it.
So, by the way, real quick, should we talk about what this is wrapped in? All right. I think you probably already mentioned it, but wrapper is Brazilian Matafina, and then unspecified Nicaraguan binder and filler. So, I can taste the strength already from the Nick.
But I just think it's mid full right now.
Yeah.
But I could see this turning fast.
That's normal.
I've got my guard up.
Yeah, that's a normal characteristic of a Nicaraguan. But even though this is Brazilian Matafina, I'm pretty sure this was grown in Nicaragua. I'm not sure if it was grown in Brazil. So.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't specify, but I'm going to say this was probably grown in Nicaragua.
Okay. Well, so what does Matafina refer to?
That strain of tobacco, literally meaning fine plant.
Okay, so it is not a region, it's a tobacco plant.
Yeah.
Like it's a strain.
Yeah, yeah, it's a strain.
Okay.
Yeah, Matafina, fine plant.
So you're saying that AJ or somebody for AJ grew Brazilian Matafina tobacco in Nicaragua.
Yes.
So this is a Nicaraguan puro.
I would say, but I guess you can't call it Nicaraguan puro because it's...
But if it was grown in Nicaragua, right? Yeah. So, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to stir the pot too much, but
no, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to Brazilian Matafina grown in Brazil and imported
into Nicaragua
or exported.
Imported, yeah.
Exported to Nicaragua or whatever. You know what I mean. Imported into or
it got on a truck and it showed up in Nicaragua.
and or a boat. Or an airplane.
Yeah, or both.
Submarine. Well, I'm just thinking, like, between Brazil and Nicaragua is Panama and...
Well, if you're in Brazil, you can literally just go, hey, water.
Oop. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, boat is probably faster. Right.
They probably took those canoes. Isn't those tribal canoes?
Oh, my God. and canceled in 3, 2, 1. No, but
no, it's
but
not even what.
But Rio is on the East Coast, kind of in the middle, right?
Yeah, yeah, mid East. Yeah, but slightly more northern. Yeah,
slightly more northern. Yeah, over the hump.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Over the hump.
So, like, going from there to Nicaragua, I'll bet you it's all ocean cans. I'll bet you.
It'd probably be the cheapest and quickest way to go, honestly. Because if you...
There's political turmoil, dude.
Right. Like, not only that, I mean, look at how many countries you literally have to drive through. Like, if you don't really know the map of South America, there's at least 6 countries you have to go through to drive to Nicaragua from Brazil. You know how expensive that is? Mm-hmm. Not because of the travel time, but hey, now you need visas. You need customs clearance from every single country.
Yeah, that's
so
what I was saying.
The cheapest thing. So it probably makes sense to go by boat. Sorry we just nerded out, but I mean, that is the
Yeah, but
the
I don't know where, you know, like, I don't know where the tobacco is grown. Like, Brazil is huge. It is fucking huge. And you have the whole Amazon basin.
I wouldn't know.
In the jungle.
I would imagine the northern part of
it's
Brazil.
It's got to be northern and probably northeastern.
Yeah, because more of the... Central West Brazil is like the jungle, like the jungle.
Yeah, and like the Amazon starts in the northwest and flows to the southeast, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of that like central western area is timber and corporate owned. Unfortunately, for those of you that don't know the sad story of the current Amazon situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But anyways,
so
back to this. Yeah. No more gloomy shit.
So that's what the wrapper is, and it is. Do they advertise it as Maduro aged?
No, all they say is Matafina. They just this is a Maduro wrapper though.
It looks like a Maduro or Oscuro. A lot of Oscuro comes out this color.
I think they did say Oscuro though.
Oh really?
I believe.
Which is it's a different process.
Mm-hmm.
So Maduro, like, what is it? It hangs. It cures longer and ferments shorter, and Oscuro cures less and ferments longer.
Yeah, which is weird because technically Maduro, everybody's like, "Oh, stronger," but it's sweeter. I mean, it's stronger.
Oh, okay.
But sweeter.
So no, this is a good sidebar for all of our listeners. Okay, so here's the deal.
Yeah,
Maduro is a method of aging the leaf. Mm-hmm. It includes the longest curing process, I believe, and also. It has a fermentation process like all the good leaves do. And traditionally, it releases the most sugars. Basically, as the leaf dries out, it gets smaller and leatherier, and the sugars, like, you know, stay and the water goes out.
Right.
So it's, like, concentrated. And historically, and if you have a real Maduro, it is sweet and delicious. However, the American market specifically associates dark tobacco with strong.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's. I've said it before. I'll admit it, but that's the norm for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from.
I don't. Maybe it's because historically Cuban leaf is light.
Yeah.
You know, like it's natural.
Yeah, it's closer to green too.
Yeah, and. Cuban tobacco historically is strong in the nicotine content.
Yeah.
But in the palate, it's like light, floral, aromatic, savory. So maybe it came as a contrast to that because the dark tobacco wasn't coming from Cuba.
Right.
And it wasn't as good 20 and 30 years ago. And, you know, it was probably harsher and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Possible.
I'm not sure where that came. But you and I'm sure most of the listeners know. And I know the dichotomy, the taxonomy of cigar industry.
Yeah, the taxonomy is
crazy.
Fucked. But the point is, the manufacturers leaned into it.
Yeah.
Most of them, if you have a dark cigar, they also make it strong.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, I don't know, is what it is.
It's just the association at this point. I think it's kind of like the metric and imperial system. It's like, it's too late to go back. We're just going to stick with it.
How many cheeseburgers per bald eagle?
Yeah, how many cheeseburgers per bald eagle is that?
Oh, my God. All right, socials and surprises. Of course, social media, jump on. If you're watching this, you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, please comment. It really helps us out, partly because we cannot advertise.
Yeah.
So
not yet, at least.
Not at all. Our advertisements consistently get shot down by the Google complex, Instagram, YouTube,
and Facebook.
Different company, but still.
Oh, damn it.
Consistently get the "you do not comply with our tobacco," blah 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 blah, right? And so it's hard to get the word out.
Yeah.
So if you listeners are getting some value out of this, please like, subscribe, share, and of course you can go to Linktree / Burnline Podcast, and there's all of our links.
Yeah.
However you want to listen to, and then there's drop us a line. That is our email address, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Please leave us an email, and we will make it a question of the week, tobacconist tip of the week.
Yeah.
Dude,
our outreach on Facebook is crazy. It's just, I need interactions.
Yeah, yeah. Please interact. It really helps us out. If you think that the podcast is worth listening to for cigar folks, we're really relying on you guys to get the word out, because I haven't cracked the code on how to get an advertisement out where they don't fucking shoot me down.
Right. Yeah, because I'm getting at least 100, over 100 views per post on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. So we have an email this week.
Sweet.
Which not we will turn like into the
business email.
Tobacconist tip of the week. And see if I can pull this up. Not too much going on the socials. Zappos, $15 off your next order. Nope, not what I'm looking for.
What are you talking about? Damn it.
Basically, the gist of the email is, you know, I hear you guys talking about these tasting notes. Makes a little joke about Johnny Midas's complex taste. And so the question is twofold. Number one is like, you know, is it real? Or are you just tasting smoke? And then two, how can I develop my palate? Ooh. So we'll have a little bit of an extended tobacconist tip of the week. We'll talk about this together.
All right.
Because there's some real stuff you can do.
Sounds like a plan.
So why don't we go ahead and go to break? And when we come back, we will do the tobacconist tip of the week.
Sounds good.
Keep your dial locked in to the crystal clear tones of Burnline Podcast.
Do they have dials?
Whatever, dude. Don't press pause. Whatever. Stay on this podcast. This is a Jim Beam product.
Ooh.
So Brenda used to work for Jim Beam.
That's the shit.
And they would send bottles back home from time to time,
nice.
Including Basil Hayden's Rye, which is noted for its slightly peppery flavor. So let's go ahead and...
Okay, here. Do you need me to hold it?
Yeah.
A little too low?
Yeah.
Wee too low?
Wee too low.
All right. Holy shit!
Yeah, this is Basil Hayden's Dark Rye, and we are about to go all fucking cowboy up in this joint. And, of course, for sampling whiskey, if you want to get tasting notes without putting it on your palate, just stick your nose in it but leave your mouth open while you breathe in so it doesn't harsh.
Ooh.
It's sweet and peppery. Lot of caramel on the
finish.
Yeah,
I was going to say the caramel you can definitely taste.
Caramel vanilla.
And now your tobacconist tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
I like it. All right, so yeah, tobacconist tip of the week. Question about tasting. Okay, so two things, right? The first is, yes, tasting notes are absolutely real.
Yeah.
They're also very personal.
Yeah, because honestly, it's also kind of subjective on your palate, because not everybody has the same palate.
Right.
Let me be real and honest. When I first started, I was like, I taste smoke.
Right.
I could probably taste one note, like, you know, and that was it. And it wasn't like a specific note. I was like, okay, this tastes good, or this tastes like shit. That was literally it.
And there's an element, too, like, if we're being honest, there is an element of you are filtering out...
Mm-hmm.
The fermented tobacco taste.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, if we say, you know, like, I had a cigar, I can't remember which one, and I was like, this tastes like apple fruit leather.
Okay.
You remember fruit leather from, like, dehydrated apples
when
you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like, it tastes like that. But it doesn't taste like that. There is a hint of that once I ignore the smoldering tobacco taste.
Hmm.
Right? So, you know, when we do tasting notes, you know, if I say, oh, it tastes like dark cherry on the finish. No, it tastes like a cigar. But there is a hint of black cherry in that
that's
I'm picking
correct.
Out, right?
Yeah.
So how you talk about it kind of might change your expectations and experience. Because
you are burning something, so.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Now, that's one of the reasons that we have this ritual, you know, toasted, not roasted.
Yeah.
The cooler you can keep the tobacco without the cherry going out, the less harsh the flavor, and the more you can bring out these notes. In fact, the best tasting cigar you will ever smoke is the one that is just going out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're like, oh, shit, it's not combusted anymore. Because it's so cool, like, the notes and stuff that you'll taste, you'll be like, whoa, that really stands out.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that answers the first part. Like, yes, it is real. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to practice and train yourself and learn. But also keep in mind what it actually is, right? So for me, like, let me do some more tasting notes. We are smoking the Dias de Gloria Brasil from AJ Fernandez. We are smoking the 5.5x54, pretty big ring gauge.
Yeah, actually.
Soft box pressed, Robusto.
Yeah, and real quick to add, you're not going to learn that trick overnight or that capability overnight. I think it took me well over a year to even start being able to process and kind of separate out the notes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, don't be discouraged right off the bat.
Yeah, so there's a little, it's almost a mix of like barnyard and earth and vegetable. It's sort of all mixed together there.
Yeah, like
it's
I like see.
It's a cohesive note, you know, and then there's some leather. And there's a little savory, almost like steak seasoning.
Okay.
Almost. And there's some leather.
Okay. Right?
So, yeah, like if you took, what I was describing as crushed red pepper is more like steak seasoning now. So
okay.
If you took like some nice rich dirt and dragged a leather belt through it and just like kind of tossed some sprinkles of steak seasoning, that's what it tastes like. But it really tastes like combusted fermented tobacco with those notes as the extra special stuff, right? All right, so that is, I think that answers the first question.
Yeah.
And by the way, we are pairing this. I don't know when the video got cut back in from the break, but
we'll find out.
We have this Basil Hayden's Dark Rye, and it is fucking good. I think it goes with this smoke, too.
Mm-hmm.
It has, like, this complimentary. It's, like, on the sweet and fruity side.
Yeah, it really is.
And it really complements this, like, earthy, leathery tone of the cigar.
And it's smooth, and it's not high in alcohol, so the alcohol is not really overpowering the smoke, either. So you got to be careful with that, as well. Pairing your liquor to your cigar is important.
Yeah, because that alcohol, it hammers the palate. And, of course, it coats it. Like, you know, your whiskey is like a liquid. It gets in every crack of your tongue, every little bump, and it just coats it.
Yeah.
And the alcohol actually dulls
your
taste buds, which sometimes makes for a fantastic pairing.
It can, yeah.
Because it really can mellow out the cigar, and you can taste other stuff. And other times, it just fucking kills it. So I can't remember the last time that I drank neat whiskey that was like triple digit proof with a cigar that I cared about. Now there's times I'm trying to drown the cigar out, you know, but because I want to savor them both.
Yeah.
So I'll add a splash of water, an ice cube, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, an ice cube does double duty because the cold like blunts the flavor.
Yep.
And then it also waters down
the
whiskey, which is perfectly fine, by the way. This is not a whiskey show, but for whiskey drinkers out there, fucking put enough water in it that you like it. That is okay. You don't have to listen to whoever made it. You don't have to listen to the snobs. That is the best part about consumption hobbies is fucking do what you like.
Yeah.
If you like Jack and Coke, drink Jack and Coke. Just don't ever talk to me again. All right, so...
I forgot to mention, there is an ice cube science, too.
Yes, there is. anyway, so, but as far as, like, developing your palate, this is a really great question. I'm glad that you emailed in. Next time, work on your spelling and grammar, but it's all right. and then we can actually read it. So, here's a couple of things, right? The first thing, I would recommend everybody start with this. Look up good tasting notes online. And so I'm talking like Half Wheel is pretty reliable. Cigars International is pretty reliable when they have tasting notes. Not Joe and Bubba's blog.
Yeah.
Right? But Cigar Journal magazine.
Aficionado.
Cigar Snob.
Yeah.
Right? These have real tasting artistes. And... So they'll say, oh, here's this cigar. It has notes of toasted almonds and cocoa, right?
Yeah.
Get that cigar, smoke it, and try to taste what they say they're tasting, right? For most folks, that works immediately. You're like, oh, okay, it isn't like fucking taking a can of almonds off the grocery store shelf and popping them in my mouth,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a reminiscent. It's like an analog, you know? And after doing that for, you know, and try to mix it up, like try one where they're like, oh, pepper.
Yep.
Most people can taste pepper. That one's pretty easy. But then like, okay, this one they're saying is cayenne and this one is black pepper.
Yep.
Smoke them and try to tell the difference, right? And again, these are the easy ones. The spicy is easy. Like most people can taste that on their cigar. But then, you know. Do the whole thing. Find one where they say it's chocolate. Find one where they say it's leather. Find one where they say it's wood. Find one where they say it's oak, cedar, right? And try to taste these.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it was probably like 5 cigars before I was like, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're saying it tastes like cedar. They're not saying I fucking took a bite out of my cedar-lined closet. You know. By the way, the cedar in... like humidors and stuff, or like this was wrapped in, that is not cedar. It's Spanish cedar,
uh-huh.
which is technically cypress. Actual cedar is poisonous. Don't ever, if you're making your own humidor, don't make it out of actual cedar, okay? And also, it will fucking make your cigar stink. You want cypress or Spanish cedar. All right. That was pretty fucking nerdy.
Yeah, it was.
That was deep in the cigar weeds. So,
I mean, this is a nerdy show in a way.
Yeah, yeah. But that's my first, you know, my first recommendation is, you know, just read what somebody else wrote and then try to taste it, you know. And then also know if you disagree, you know, if they're like, well, it tastes like wood. And you're like, it tastes like an apple tree. Well, then make that note. You tasted some apple wood. It was still woody, you know. And then... the second thing is how you consume your cigar changes your ability to taste flavor, right? So if you're just pulling smoke in, pushing smoke out, I want to challenge our listeners to try a couple of things, right? The first thing is learn the retrohale.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm going to demonstrate. You should be able to see this.
Yeah. So he inhales through the mouth or then exhales through the nose.
And you can regulate the retrohale like I just did by pushing a little through your nose and then more out through your mouth or less out through your mouth or whatever. That changes the flavor.
Yeah.
Right? And you can take a good cigar and smoke it both ways and ask yourself what changed.
Yeah.
One thing that almost always changes, it always changes without fail on a Nicaraguan cigar, but it almost always changes is the retrohale adds pepper. Typically, the spicy notes come out more through the nose.
Your olfactory senses kind of play hand-in-hand with your taste buds. Like, it makes the flavor pop. Even when you're eating. Next time you eat, like...
plug your nose. Like, when you have a cold, it's like, oh, my food doesn't taste good. Yeah. It doesn't, because you can't smell it.
Yeah.
Smell is a big part of taste.
Right.
Right? The other thing the retrohale does is it allows your nose to experience what's going into your mouth, not the secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And the secondhand smoke smells and tastes different. And if you're in a lounge, it's even more important because you got like a stale smoke odor frequently.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus, if you got like a full house, you're going to smell everything.
Mm-hmm. The second is long, slow draws to keep the cherry cool. Try to keep that cherry cool. Try to smoke your cigar so slow that you're afraid it's going to go out and see what that if that changes things. If you're just you're keeping the cherry so hot that you're getting, you know, like a acrid taste, it's going to kind of like, you know, blunt the other taste.
Yeah, you're going to blunt the tobacco because you're just heating it up and you're getting nothing but hot air and smoke. So that, keeping it cool. I mean, I can chief my cigar, but I can do that without...
Oh, that sounds like a cigar smoker archetype featured on episode 67.
Something like that.
Yeah, episode 67. And then the last thing is, I got this from the whiskey industry, actually. But chew the smoke. What this does, this is a psychological trick. When you're chewing your food, your brain is used to interpreting flavors.
Mm-hmm.
It does also ensure that the smoke coats all sides of your tongue. So, you know, typically you taste bitter on the outside edges of the rear of your tongue. Sweet is kind of like more the front tip of your tongue. So I'm going to demonstrate real fast. Let me get out from behind the microphone so people can see.
Yeah, so he's chewing the smoke right now, like the way you would chew food.
Yeah, I'm just working my mouth the same way like I was chewing food. And a lot of the time, that wakes your brain up.
Yeah.
We're like, I'm not fighting. You know, because especially when you're a beginner, you're taking smoke into your mouth, and everything subconscious is going, you're going to fucking die.
Right.
Don't inhale smoke into your lungs. Don't run away screaming, right? And so we have a natural reflex, our mouth, our nose, everything else, to be like, get out of here, you know? And by chewing, all of a sudden your brain is like, whoa, this is something I'm supposed to be tasting.
Yeah.
Right? And it engages your nose and everything else without you thinking.
Yeah.
Right? So that's like a hack right there. So the introductory stage is just read what other reputable people are writing and try to taste it yourself.
Yep.
And you might be surprised. You know, for me, it was just a handful of cigars before I really figured out what was going on and how to taste notes. Second, change how you're smoking the cigar.
Yeah.
Right? Add some of these tips and tricks in. And then, like, that's the intermediate level. And then I would say, like, the advanced level is fucking get some shit, get a bunch of these. So this is a plastic shot glass, and you can get a sleeve of these for $2.99 or whatever.
Yeah.
At the supermarket. Communion cups. Get some of these communion cups and just do shots until you fall over black. Blacked out. No, just kidding.
Yeah, we're getting communion right now.
Put the Blessed Sacrament of Kentucky. we've got both. We've got the indigenous native sacrament right here.
Yeah.
And we've got basically a Scottish American sacrament right
here. Yeah.
But take these little plastic shot glasses, put coffee beans in one. Put leather, literally cut up an old leather belt.
Put shave it in the one. Leather.
Shave it. More surface area. Put like nutmeg in one. You can just bring if you have a spice rack, you know, I have an actual spice spindle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very passionate about cooking, and they're all labeled and everything. My wife just throws everything into a fucking bin and puts it in the cabinet. Right? I'm like, where is the smoked paprika? She's like, it's in the cabinet. I'm like, yeah, along with the other 97 other condiments that you fucking bought.
Is that what Mrs. Midas sounds like?
Mrs. Midas? No, Mrs. Midas is gorgeous and perfect. but anyway, so if you have a spice rack like that, you can just bring it into your lounge or wherever, or dump some spices out. Nutmeg, allspice, cloves, you know. And just start with like four or five and try like adjacent flavors. Cocoa, get some actual like Hershey's chocolate, milk chocolate bar, stick it in one. Earth, get some fucking potting soil and put it in there, right?
Yeah.
And then as you're smoking, you know, you probably have a hint. I think this is earthy. Or maybe the review that you read said this is earthy. Smell the dirt. There is a huge difference. Like, Brazilian tobacco right, has a, like, brown earth sort of flavor.
Yeah.
Whereas Mexican San Andres has a, like, black soil sort of flavor. And Condega, Nicaraguan Condega, frequently has a red clay sort of flavor. Like, there's different kinds of dirt.
Yeah.
Right?
Chew up a coffee bean, like an actual coffee bean. It's going to be very bitter, but, like, it'll help you. Like, oh, this is what they're tasting.
Yeah. Right? And so you can just compare your cigar to those.
Yeah, because when we say coffee flavor, it's not brewed coffee. It's like your coffee bean. There's a huge difference between the flavor profile of a coffee bean and then brewed coffee.
Mm-hmm. Or even coffee orchard.
Yeah.
Or coffee farm. Like, if you've ever been to one, because the berries that the beans are in, they ferment.
Yeah.
Kind of on the vine. And you have that fermentation smell. Mm-hmm. And the leaves smell like coffee mixed with, like, morning glories.
Yeah, because coffee, like, here's the weird part. Coffee's a fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fruit. it's actually the seed of a fruit.
Yeah, it's a
it's
fruit.
It's like a berry seed, yeah.
I wouldn't recommend eating a berry, though.
Well, you know, for generations, I mean decades, coffee beans were harvested from goat scat. Because the goats would eat the berries, mm-hmm. and they would just harvest the beans. So to this day, what is it, the Aussie cat? Or there's some special coffee where they take it out of the shit of some cat that eats it or something?
I thought it was a bat.
Whatever, something with something, somewhere in some shit.
Somewhere
they
in
go
like
through some
east.
Shit and like pull out the bean.
Yeah,
it's like half digested.
South Asian countries.
Yeah, it sounds like an Asian delicacy, to be honest with you. But it's super expensive and supposed to be really good.
I'm good.
Serval? A serval cat? No, it's a serval cat.
Is it? I'm good though.
It's not a bat. It's a cat.
Okay, I'm still good.
I don't know. I'd try it. I would, especially if it's like hard to find and really expensive. Sounds like something Johnny Midas would try. Speaking of which, I had a camel shawarma when I was in UAE. And you couldn't really taste it because they put all those spices and like the yogurt and stuff on the shawarma.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I ate a fucking camel. Yeah. Yeah.
I love how the Middle East actually likes spicy food. I'm like, hey, you're my people.
Yeah, unlike Pennsylvania, where it's like, oh, spicy, I put ketchup on it.
No, stop it.
Oh, God. We love all you people out there.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't put ketchup on your cigar.
So, ketchup on a cigar. But so, that's our feedback for tasting notes. You know, how do you taste them? How do you develop your palate? Start by copying other people. Just try to see what they're tasting. Right. Step two is change some of your smoking habits to try to bring more flavor out. And then the last one would be set up your own fucking tasting lounge. Just get a bunch of these disposable communion cups and just put little stuff in there and sniff it, sniff your cigar.
Yeah.
Try to compare it, right?
Record, like, as an actual audio record or write down your experience.
Yes. So a lot of people use a journal. Highly recommend it. Now, here's what I did because the writing down, like, distracted me. So what I did was I set up my iPhone and video recorded me, and I would just speak while I was smoking. And then I would go back with my notebook and listen to what I was saying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would frequently do it with the same cigar, re-smoking it. And I'm like, can I taste that again? How consistent is my palate? Meanwhile, I would be writing down what was being spoken. You can get AI to do that for you now, transcribe your video.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, lots of tech that makes it easy. So that is the Tobacconist Tip of the Week. Long-winded, but felt like, you know, folks deserved it.
Yeah. It's necessary.
Yeah. All right. So we are quite a bit of a ways into this podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Dias de Gloria Brasil from AJ Fernandez?
All right. So Dias de Gloria. So the meaning of Dias de Gloria is the days of glory of the Cuban growing tobacco days.
That so sounds like a movie title.
Días de Gloria.
Days of Glory.
Days of Glory.
Sounds like it would have Tom Cruise in it.
No.
Days of Glory featuring Tom Cruise.
Wait, all right. But he was in Blades of Glory, wasn't he?
No, he Will was Ferrell? In Days of Thunder.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Yes, a Will Ferrell-Tom Cruise crossover called Days of Glory. And it's like a comedy with like where like Tom Cruise is Will Ferrell's stuntman.
Yeah.
That would be fucking hilarious. Why am I not in Hollywood, dude? All right,
somebody like, write that up.
Somebody, okay. Patent this before somebody rips us off. Tom Cruise, I know you listen to my show. You've come to me for fashion advice. Get with Will Ferrell. I think this is awesome. All right.
Yeah.
So now that I completely ruined your intro, tell me about Dias de Gloria.
So Dias de Gloria. And then he went with the Brazil Matafinas. That's why it's called the Brasil. So it blends two cultures together, two growing cultures, you know, the Nicaraguan and the Brazilian. But the Days of Glory comes from the glory days of the Cuban tobacco industry. I mean, it's still there, but it's not the same. That's why it's Days of Glory.
And AJ blended. There's the original Dias de Gloria.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is the new Brasil.
Brasil.
With the Matafina rapper. But he blended it with his father, Ismael, right?
Yeah.
Who, you know, remembers the glory days of Cuba. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to bring that back. So,
yeah. So, real quick on that. So, this story begins in 1952, which is when the Cuban Revolution kicked off.
Right.
And then it ended in 1959. So it was about, what, 6 years of fighting until they got the revolution. Everybody was down for it, and then they kind of got, like, hoodwinked, and then it got worse.
Yeah, so a note on the hoodwinking. Here was the hoodwink. The hoodwink was, it was only after Castro cemented power that he decided it was going to be a socialist economic system. He didn't advertise that beforehand.
By the way, real quick, Fantas, freaking awesome. Thank you. Fruit pectin.
Yes. I already took the small band off, mm-hmm. but a note, the ribbon and cedar sleeve on the foot, which is gorgeous, by the way.
Super easy.
Came off perfectly, and both bands came off perfectly. Mm-hmm. Well done, AJ.
Yeah. So, and I believe a lot of that might have actually come from Che Guevara, the socialist Marxist stuff.
So what was the relationship between Che and Castro? All
right, so the glory side of Che was he was a revolutionary, you know, freeing up countries, fighting wars, blah, blah, blah. He's an educated person. He was a physician and is college educated. He was born in Argentina, so he's not a Cuban. Let's get that straight.
And he didn't invade Cuba.
No, he didn't.
Castro did.
Right. It was only until after the fact. He became the Secretary of Industry, Che Guevara, not Castro. That's how he got in there. You know, so he did a lot of the politicking. And he was actually the UN representative of Cuba. So that's where a lot of the political crap.
Che, he overthrew governments. Was it Argentina? Where was it?
Bolivia.
Bolivia?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was involved with the, you know, the communist takeover. And they really targeted South America and Mesoamerica. And it was a crying shame because, you know, like we don't really talk about this. Like we're all quick to condemn the Nazis, you know, but we don't really talk about, you know, the methodology of the Marxists was absolutely Faustian. You could even say satanic.
Yeah.
Because they would go in and their entire message is, oh no, you're a victim, you're being taken advantage of. Everyone's out to get you. You're oppressed. You're held down by the man, and you know all of this stuff. Which, if you look at the outcomes, in almost every case, they were far worse off after the revolution. And that's not even counting the millions of people that were murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in Ukraine, in Russia, fucking Pol Pot. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, Mao Zedong and China, and to this day, China is still engaged in this grotesque behavior of suppression, oppression, cultural genocide.
I just want to point out how incorrect you are. China is on the
UN Council for Human Rights.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Stop it.
But you're less human if you're not Chinese. Right?
Stop it. No. No.
Yeah.
They're humanists.
So, but anyway, so Che destabilized Bolivia. Which they're still reeling from that. I mean,
oh my God,
who's ever fucking heard of Bolivia?
Yeah, last week the government just got overthrown.
You didn't know. Like they just can't. You know, it's never worked.
Right.
Just fucking give up. It's a shitty idea. Just take your lumps. You lost. You know, like, stop.
Sorry.
The revolution is dead. Y'all failed.
A certain search engine wouldn't let me find the bad stuff about Che Guevara.
You, Google.
All right, now we're canceled. Sorry.
And canceled.
Yeah. But literally, I had to go to Reddit to get, like, because I knew some of it. Like, it's not my culture, but, like, I've met a lot of Cubans. Like, you meet a real Cuban and you start spewing off Marxist shit, you will get punched in the face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, those... like,
some of them had their lives ruined.
Yeah, they know oppression. And sorry, but Marxism is not what they're advertising it to be. So here is, like, some of the quick and dirty about Che. He created labor camp, internment camps. Mm-hmm. Where have we heard that before, sir?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for some of the people, especially the people here in the U.S., you know who was really victimized in those places?
Mm.
Afro-Cubans. Mm-hmm. Oh,
and it was very racist.
And homosexuals. Hey!
Yeah. Yeah.
The two groups that are being brainwashed into thought that Marxism loves you.
Right, right.
It really doesn't. I'm sorry, guys. It doesn't.
Yeah. Queers for Palestine. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, go
and
over there.
Canceled again.
Yeah. Go
this
over
episode,
there. And get...
this episode's going to get canceled on YouTube.
Go to Palestine and see how tolerant they are of your lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah. But, we clearly have nothing against that lifestyle. But I'm just saying, this is the reality. You know,
it's true.
These are the people they imprison. Yeah.
He implemented policies that were wicked. You just can't, I'm not going to, you know, you can't, like, beat around the bush there. He targeted darker-skinned people,
mm-hmm.
and he targeted homosexuals for forced hard labor internment camps and re-education because they weren't, whatever, Cuban enough.
Right. But in his speech about 65, 67 at the UN in New York, he was like, oh, America oppresses the black people. Yeah, they were still being oppressed, but sir, you're doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. Well, it's the old, you know, that's what the Marxists did. It was fucking propaganda where they just completely lied for the sake of power.
Yeah.
You know, and...
all right. And back to the cigar thing. That's exactly why we got another
cigar
boom.
So many people left.
Yeah, that's why all the tobacco people left, because the government came in and said, this is our plants now.
Yeah.
This is not your land. This is not your plant. This is not your farm.
Yeah, we talked about the Plasencias. It's like, dude, I've got 100 years of building this company. Well, at that point, it was 80 or 90 years of trying to build this company.
Yeah.
Blood, sweat, tears. Literally, like, grandpa's buried in the backyard.
Yeah.
And you're like, we're going to tell you what to make, how much you can sell it for, and... So, I was listening to...
and any profits you make are ours.
Yeah. Shit, I forget the guy's name, but Cigar Authority podcast. They had the guy from HVC on there.
Okay.
And, you know, he's Cuban-American. And he went to school to be a physician, just like his brother and sister. And, you know, it didn't take. At 24, he started a cigar company.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was just... He visited a farm and it was in his blood, right? But he was saying, you know... If he stayed in, you know, if he got his degree and stayed in Cuba at the time, now they've changed. So Cuba has definitely evolved because it just doesn't work.
Right.
You know,
Fidel dying was net positive for Cuba. They're still not free, but it benefited.
Yeah. Well, so at the time, if you leave Cuba, you can never come back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a degree like engineer, doctor, lawyer, you have to work for 10 years. You can't leave. You can't leave the country. You know, you have to do a job to pay back the country because it's free education, right? Guess how much his salary would be as a doctor in Cuba?
Let's talk about American dollars here. I want to say somewhere between 10 to 20 in American, right?
$4 per day.
Yeah.
To be a fucking doctor, you know. Yeah. Now, four American dollars goes farther. Their economy,
right?
But still, it's shit, right? So of course he came to America, but you know, just an example of why we have so many Cuban immigrants, and you know why they feel so strongly about this stuff is like, you know, don't you have a fucking opinion if you haven't lived through it? Mm-hmm. You know,
sorry and, guys, whatever they're teaching you in college is not that.
And no,
just
no,
a burst
like,
of bubble.
Just you know, how about if you come to terms with actual facts, not some theory spewed from behind a lectern in a very safe country,
right?
Where you can. You know, talk about stuff like that.
And enough of the, that's because it was... No, that is done right. That is how you do it.
Oh, yeah.
Stop saying buy the book. It's not right.
Well, if they just got it right, getting it right is not doing it. Yeah. All right, so this is not a political show, but anyway.
It's just the history.
It's just the history.
Industry.
But that was the exodus, right? The
The mass
the
exodus.
Diaspora.
Yeah.
From Cuba. And so what you ended up with was a bunch of people like Ismael who, you know, wanted this glory of producing a product that is an amazing vice.
Right.
And
just to clear it up, AJ was born and raised in Cuba, and he even left. Like, mm-hmm. he knew the reality.
Mm-hmm. And so the Dias de Gloria is celebrating the glory days in Cuba before,
right?
You know, they got shut down and imprisoned and raped and
not
that.
To say that Batista was any better. Like, trust me, it wasn't great either, but it's like the people were promised freedom and better treatment, and then they got 10 times worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's like the backstory.
Yeah.
Of the Dias de Gloria. And then the actual cigar. So this is, you know, rolled in their factory in Esteli. So here's the deal. The Dias de Gloria, the original, is one of my favorites because I do like Cuban-esque cigars.
Yeah.
However, I will say this. Where it differs for me from a Cuban and the traditional Cuban experience is it is spicy and strong.
Yeah.
Right? You know, when I, like my daily smoke is the Chateau Fuente, Gran Reserva Natural.
Was that the gringo pronunciation?
That was the gringo pronunciation. But it is an Ecuadorian Sumatra natural wrapper, and it smokes like a traditional Cuban. It's a little light on the nicotine compared to Cubans.
Yeah.
The Dias de Gloria is not, but it is stronger on the palate. So great cigar. This one is nothing like the original, and I'm really curious. I'm really curious if the internals are the same or if it's a different blend.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't specify.
I can tell you the wrapper changes the cigar completely.
Yeah. And
nothing Cuban-esque about this at all.
But I will note this, though. AJ does say that Ometepe Esteli area is very reminiscent of the Cuban environment, biodome.
Oh, yeah. The biome.
The biome. Yeah, yeah. Biome. Thank you.
The biome is very similar. Ometepe, which because it's volcanic.
Yeah.
And also Esteli. And then... the other thing is the culture.
Yeah.
Is very reminiscent. Like they have schools like Plasencia, we mentioned last week, you know, building schools and adult education centers and basically, you know, putting money back into the community.
Yeah. Right? The right way. Actually putting back money into the community.
Yeah. Here's your $2,000. Sorry about the disease that we created in a lab over in China. Not that kind of.
God, canceled for the fourth time.
All right,
we're gonna keep a tally.
What is in this whiskey, dude?
I don't know.
It's gotta be the Basil Hayden's talking. All right. So that's a little bit about the cigar. We are running long. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? Come back. We'll do the cigar news of the week, and then let's rank this cigar.
Cool.
Don't go away.
What's up, everybody? Johnny Midas here with my smoke of the week. And this week, I am smoking the H. Upman Banker Day Trader, a new money release. And it features this candlestick chart here. If you're familiar with finance, you'll know what that is. This is a huge 6x60, definitely like a banker's type of cigar, and retails for $15.49 here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster, Maryland, featuring an Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with a Nicaraguan binder and Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers. It has notes of toasted almonds and spice and is really a luxury smoke. Check it out. I'm Johnny Midas, and you're listening to Burnline Podcast.
And we are back on Burnline Podcast, uncommon cigar knowledge for the common cigar smoker. Your hosts, Johnny Midas and El Fumo, the two best-looking cigar hosts on the best cigar podcast on the planet. No hubris here. Cigar news of the week. Before we do, let's touch base on the cigar. We are smoking the AJ Fernandez Dias de Gloria Brasil, featuring a Matafina wrapper. And they don't advertise it. Did they say Oscuro?
No.
They don't have, it looks like a Maduro aging process, possibly Oscuro, and it is Nicaraguan binder and filler. So a couple of tasting notes, you know, it, to me, it is reminiscent of dark earth or brown earth, actually. Leather, some kind of like, you know, steak seasoning. Like it's savory, slightly spicy, but the spice has dropped off a little bit.
Yeah.
Really can taste it mostly on the retrohale. What, how about you? What flavors are you getting?
Kind of the same peppery steak. You know, I'm still getting, I'm not sure that you're getting it, but like I'm getting a slight cocoa, like that bitter cocoa to it. A little vegetal now.
Yes, a little vegetal has come in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only real change.
Yeah, I was expecting that.
Yeah, a little bit of vegetal bitter has crept in.
Yeah, the nicotine is picking up, I can tell you that right now. I feel.
Yeah, like so I would call this full.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's full-bodied, full strength. It's not like full-bodied.
Like it's gonna kill it's you, full. But I wouldn't do it on an empty stomach.
No, I wouldn't go golfing with it either.
No, dude, especially, exercise. Okay, so real quick, well, this weather we're having, 95
yeah,
plus.
Yeah, no.
Don't do it outside.
Not a summer cigar outside.
Don't walk.
Yeah.
Don't do anything with this cigar that's outside related.
All right, cigar news of the week.
All right, let's get to it.
I'm just going to top a little top off.
Shit.
A little top off. I feel my blood alcohol content is dipping below 0.12. I better.
All right.
Now your cigar news of the week with Angel Solorio.
So, CI, Cigars International, is planning to open a large store slash lounge in the St. Louis area. So that's pretty cool. That's kind of interesting that they're going to be going in St. Louis.
St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Like St. Louis Ray. Woo!
So
I just can't. I'm used to St. Louis Ray. Because it's was originally Cuban.
Yeah.
Like the St. Louis Ray thing from like the American version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not digging it.
So not really shake 'em up news, but Stinky Cigar has sold their ashtray making business to Quality Importers.
Interesting.
Yeah, man. He's been in the business for
Stinky's makes like the really good deep dish. I have one.
Yeah, ashtray. I have the OG. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the wind doesn't blow the ash out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this dude literally created this company in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a cigar smoker. He's like, I think at the time, this is before my time, like early 2010s. A lot of the ashtrays were shallow because it was mostly cigarette stuff. And like these are big. And you're getting a lot of ash, and that shit will blow out, and it would
if you're smoking outdoors, a traditional ashtray sucks. Even like the one we're using, this is for a lounge.
Yeah,
it's like bowl shaped, but it's too shallow.
Yeah, but they were shallow, and then you would fill that little thing up already.
Mm-hmm.
So his thing's like, what can I do? So he had literally a silver bowl just chilling there, and then he was like, how am I gonna get the cigar to sit on there? He literally took he took coins and bent them.
Yep.
And glued them on or welded them.
That was the prototype.
Yeah, that was the prototype.
Little JB Weld.
Yeah. And that's how the company started. And he still sells the first final model on Quality Importers. But Quality Importers has been the main home of distribution for Stinky Cigar.
Right.
So he was like, it just felt right. But he's still going to be involved in the process.
My favorite part about Stinky's is like the little dude, like the logo looks just like the dude from Fallout. Like
when
you play video games?
The Pip Boy.
Yeah. Yep. Pip Boy.
Yeah. So Bill Salavino is the owner and creator of
Stinky's.
So he's excited. Like he sold, but he's still going to be involved. So that's pretty cool.
So he got fuck you money.
Yeah, he got fuck you money.
And he's still involved. That's
so
awesome.
He had
good for you, Bill.
Yep. He had fuck you money on top of fuck you money.
Yeah,
I'm guessing he's planning a pretty Gucci retirement.
Pretty Gucci.
Yeah.
Presidential.
So that was cool.
Presidential.
And then something cool, something that I noticed on my trip down. I'm sure. Have you been to North Carolina before?
I've been through it. I mean, I stayed. My brother's 82nd Airborne.
Uh huh.
So their station, you know, their garrison is in North Carolina. So I've been there like to visit him. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, there's a super cool cigar lounge, like near the base.
Okay.
And they have a balcony that like wraps around, and you go up there, and there's chairs and shit, and phenomenal selection in the humidor. All
right.
But they have a bar up there, and they can pour alcohol because North Carolina.
Yeah. So they just made it way cooler. So the one thing about smoking lounges and alcohol bars together, a cigar bar, is that they had to have their own building, you know, standalone, blah, blah. Actually, when I was in Raleigh for a few months, it was hard to find an actual sit-down place because in North Carolina, you weren't allowed to have a cigar bar or lounge in an attached building. It had to be in its own.
Yeah, like walk out and go around type of thing.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So now North Carolina's like, all right, screw that. We're now allowing, you know, cigar bars in already existing buildings. Doesn't have to be standalone. It can be next to whatever. Kind of like here. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're allowed in storefronts. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Indiana's that way. And let me tell you, if you are interested in taxes and raising taxes, fucking set the law up where you can pour alcohol in a cigar establishment.
Yeah.
Right.
Kentucky, take note.
Oh, fucking Kentucky's fucking everything up. People go across the river and spend thousands of dollars a night.
In Indiana?
In Indiana.
Yeah.
And that's all tax revenue you're losing out on.
Same thing with Ohio, because Cincinnati's like right there.
Dude, just court the fucking vices. People want their whiskey. They want their cigar. They want it together. Just make a special license for it.
I think there was a time period where we learned that, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Something happened where, like, we outlawed something.
And then a lot of violence came because of that outlawing.
Yeah, and people were still doing it. And yeah. Oh, prohibition. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
We're still doing it today, too, but looks like that's coming around as well.
Fucking political morons.
But anyways, yeah, that'll be the cool part. So if you're from North Carolina, look for up-and-coming cigar bars near you, in a neighborhood near you. So that'll be cool as shit. So ADV and Mackey's Blue, Blue-Eyed Jack's Revenge, is going to be shipping this month. And it'll be in a special box.
Blue-Eyed Jack's Revenge?
Uh-huh.
And that's from, what, ADV?
ADV. So, you ever give somebody, like, a Christmas card or a birthday card, and you open it, and it has a sound?
Yes. I hate it.
Okay.
Well, hate those.
This is going to be the first cigar box. When you open it, it's going to go, "Arrgh."
Seriously?
Seriously.
And it's not called the Jack Sparrow?
No. It's... That's why it's called Blue-Eyed Jack's Revenge.
Blue-Eyed Jack Sparrow's Revenge.
So it's going to be Barbarroja's, so Redbeard's character, just going, "Arrgh," when you open the box every time.
Okay, that's pretty good. So that's the kind of gimmick that I like in the cigar industry.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's, I mean, it's a gorgeous-looking box and stick.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like ADV, actually. They make some really good cigars. I've got the, what do I have? The shit, I forget. It's got a Corojo, Rosado Corojo wrapper. Yeah. But yeah, ADV makes some good cigars. They fly under the radar, though, man. Yeah. Like, I can't even remember the last.
I had one. A
I can't
long
remember
time ago.
The last humidor I went in, like, you know, a public humidor, like a cigar shop that had ADV. I don't even know where they sell shit.
Yeah. They're like, are they considered boutique? Is that part of the problem?
I'm sure they're boutique. Yeah. If boutique means like volume of sales, they have to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're MSRP because they have
Adventura, the ADV and Ventura.
Yeah.
That it has the metal band on it.
That's it.
That's a good cigar.
Yeah. So they're going to be averaging about 13 to 16, depending on the total.
Yeah, that's pretty normal nowadays.
So,
yeah.
Mid, like what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's mid.
Yeah, next one up, mid. Black Label Trading Company is going to be selling the Bishop's Blend coming next week.
Ooh, okay,
I
interesting.
Haven't had a Black Label in a while, but I don't remember which one I had the last time, but it was good.
For me, it was the Green Hornet.
Okay.
It was, I mean, it's super strong. It's like a bumblebee on steroids.
Yeah.
Or Hornet.
So
Hornet
I think you're going to like this blend. Ecuadorian Habano Maduro wrapper.
Ooh.
Ecuadorian Habano binder.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut
Broadleaf filler.
No. Habano binder and Connecticut. And then Nicaraguan and Pennsylvania Broadleaf filler. So you got like five different.
Yeah, that's strong, dude.
That's weird.
That's another strong. Yeah, like Black Works or Black Label. Man, they make some strong stuff.
Yeah,
so Black Label Trading, like. A sub brand is Black Works, and they make like the Hornet, the Green Hornet, the what is it? The fucking Yellow Jacket, Wasp, Bumblebee,
series,
like Killer Bee, whatever,
Killer Bee.
They make those and something else. They're very strong cigars. I like the fact that the Killer Bee is short because it will knock you on your ass. If it was a fucking Robusto, you'd just die. It's like a petite Corona, and by the time you're at the end of it, you're like, that was so good, and by the way, I want to go throw up and take a nap.
Yeah. And then the Cavaliere Genevieve. That's how you pronounce it, right? French is a little rusty.
Yeah, the Cavaliere Genevieve. Whatever. I can't pronounce French.
They're going to be shipping the Tempura. I'm sure you've smoked this.
Je ne comprends pas le français.
Yeah, something like that. So it's going to be a 4x60 short Perfecto, and it's going to have a pigtail on it. Retails for about 13.
Honestly, that's another one of those brands that, like, I'm just not familiar with.
Yeah, they're around, especially, like, you've seen that label. It's very simple.
It's got the, for those of you that, you know, aren't looking at El Fumo's cell phone, if you're familiar with the cigar that has the gold foil diamond that is, like, glued to the wrapper leaf, that's the brand we're talking about.
Yeah, it looks generic, but it's what it is. It's like one of those high-end, like, we just...
They made a cigar for the Limited Tobacco Association.
Mm-hmm. A while back, yeah.
But yeah, that gold foil diamond that's like glued to the wrapper. If you've seen that, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, to me, like a French name for a cigar or a cigar brand. I get it if you're French.
Yeah.
But to me, that is like naming a whiskey with a French name. It's like, it just doesn't go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you might be French, but, you know, pick something Latin to name it, something Spanish. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Call it the Galleon or something. But anyway, that's just me and my MBA talking about marketing and shit, you know? Yeah, it's like, I don't know, Napoleon bourbon. It's like, nah, dude, that doesn't go. Call it like Davy Crockett bourbon, you know?
Davy Crockett.
Yeah, like get your branding right. All right, super cool. So we have been enjoying the AJ Fernandez Dias de Gloria Brasil, which features a Brazilian Matafina wrapper, which we said is not actually grown in Brazil. It's just the tobacco strain, probably grown in Nicaragua, just like the wrapper and filler, undisclosed Nicaraguan. This is a 5.5x54 soft box pressed Robusta. Really a big cross section for Robusto.
Yeah, it really is.
And a lot of tobacco. You know, we've been smoking this for over an hour, and
dude, I got over an inch left.
I've got 2 inches left. I'm doing more talking. But it's time to wrap this up, so we're going to rank this, and we'll start with presentation. I'm going to go first. The original Dias de Gloria, it looks just like this, but red.
Right.
It's like that crimson red
with
the lacquered box. It is so gorgeous. I have it on my dresser in my bedroom, and I keep my shit in it, like my collar stays and like just little man stuff, you know, my ivory-handled straight razor, speaking of French, you know, stuff like that.
Because
it's fucking amazing. Well, this box is smaller. It's deeper, like it's taller, but it's like half as wide. This might actually be a better box for storing stuff in. And it is just fucking drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah, I like that green.
The presentation of the cigar, and of course I threw that in the video, you know, the up-close or whatever with the green ribbon. You know, if the Irish think they have the corner on green, fucking Brazilian green, man. Like, this is green through. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Now, the cigar itself is beautiful. You know, it's this semi-rustic, like, chocolate brown wrapper. The cedar with the green ribbon on the foot, the band. I am giving this a 10, just straight up 10 in presentation. You know, it doesn't have the holy fuck that the Plasencia Ometepe had.
Yeah.
But for a $14 cigar,
yeah,
this is just beautiful.
I like the Michelangelo kind of art in the
Oh, yeah, band. Yeah. Very classic. Very classic. What do you think? 10, 9, 6, 9? Okay. So 14 bucks for Robusto. Depending on where you're at, you know, Maryland, it's a little more. Pennsylvania, it's a little less. What do you think on price?
I want to say 8.
8 for price. I had a solid 7.
Okay.
You know, I it's an acceptable price, and I would pay it, and I would smoke this again. And actually, I bought the whole box. I did. I bought a box of them. This is going, and I bought it for the box. This is going in my collection, including the box, because they just did a hell of a job. Like, they did not cut corners. And they're like, this is an affordable cigar, but it's going to be fucking nice, right? But for a Robusto, it's, you know, to me, it's a 7. It's just, it's not bad.
No.
but it's not great.
No.
Right. All right, so let's talk about construction. So I showed you that, and I still have it. It's like some kind. It looks like a tear. It's only in the last inch, but it's something smashed vein or something. However, the rest of it, zero issues with like tobacco flapping up around the cap.
Correct. Yeah, I agree.
It lit well. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, we are very intentional. Burned straight, even, well, good smoke output. I've got a 9 for construction.
Same. The draw was perfect, too.
Yeah, yeah. Agree. So, very well done here. Like, the quality is really good here. All right, so that brings us to flavor. Now, we know that this is subjective. I'll say some notes. It's an enjoyable flavor. It's definitely a strong cigar.
Yes.
And it doesn't change much. So, you know, for me, like, just comparing this to cigars I like, which is what you do for flavor, I think they nailed what they were going for, which is why I'm going to give it a 7. For my personal palate, it's probably a 5. It's just, it's right in the middle. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's not a lot right with it either. The pepper and the nicotine strength definitely picked up in the last
few. Oh, yeah.
This is one where it's like you get to the end and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, it really is. Like I said, not an outside smoke.
Yeah, so what do you think? I mean, I give it a 7, but I could go lower.
I was thinking, 8.
Okay. All right. I think that's fair. And that brings us to experience. So just, you know, like use case, don't smoke this outside in the summer. Mm-mm. Don't take this to the golf course. Mm-mm. In fact, don't fucking do anything with it. This is a lounge cigar.
Yeah.
All right. If you have someplace air-conditioned.
Definitely air-conditioned.
To smoke. It's strong. You know, and it's not cheap. I think the use case is limited.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I'm at a 7. Like, it's a good experience, but it's just limited, so I can't go higher than that.
Yeah, especially, like, this weather is really testing right now. So, yeah, I would agree, 7. Don't do it outside. And if you are, stay hydrated as shit.
And that brings the final score for this AJ Fernandez Dias de Gloria Brasil to 40. Pretty good score. But really, it was the just superb construction and brilliant presentation that brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't care about those two things, this is more like a 37, 36 on our scale. So there you have it. And now for our final segment, and this is new, treasure or trebuchet. So we have here a treasure box. This is a diesel whiskey row special. This is our treasure box, and this is our trebuchet. And now we get to choose whether we are going to put the cigar in the treasure box or launch it across the room in the trebuchet. And El Fumo, you're first. Treasure or trebuchet?
I'm going to say treasure, but I want a trebuchet just so people can see.
Well, you said treasure first, so put it in the treasure box.
All right.
There you go. Boop. And El Fumo says this is a treasure. Thank you, AJ. Thank you, Ismail.
Yes.
Excellent cigar. And I'm going to take one last puff before I make up my mind.
By the way, we are very lucky to have AJ during this time.
Dude, AJ is a god.
Yeah.
He is a cigar god. No doubt about it.
I want to say 85% of the cigars you're smoking. Well, not 85, but
a good amount. A big fucking chunk have his hand in them.
Yeah. You have
Trebuchet. We are going to fucking launch this. And 3, 2, 1. There it goes. Shit. I'm starting a fire. Goddamn.
Yeah, look at that.
And there you go, folks. So one of us fucking launched their cigar into space with the trebuchet, and one of us threw it in the treasure box. Boom. Done. That is the AJ Fernandez Dias de Gloria Brasil from Johnny Midas and El Fumo on Burnline Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We will see you again next week.